Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly one-hour expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times in which we live, because the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Good evening and welcome to The Watchman. And I just want to inform you that almost everybody who has asked for recording has had it sent to them. So I'm told, because I do not do it, some wonderful partners of this ministry get those emails and actually do the sending of those emails to as many people as ask. Now, somebody was asking me whether it's okay for them to send the link to friends, other people. And the answer is absolutely yes. You can send to as many people as you think would be interested. Just send. The important thing is that they listen and they know the times in which we are living. There is, no charge attached to it. So just send to as many people as you think they can access the same link. You can send them the link. They can access it on their own. They don't even have to get it now straight from the Watchman. So I just want to thank those partners who help us do that, as well as, another gentleman called Simon, who actually comes and picks the messages from the recordings from the station here and takes them and compresses them, so that they are able to be sent by email. That's something I couldn't do, but that he does, because he's more savvy in things concerning, IT than I am. So today we are continuing with our study of the book of Revelation, and now I think we've spent a lot of time on chapter 18, which says, "Come out of them, my people. Come out of Babylon, my people." Now we're leaving chapter 18, and just to tell you things that are going to happen, run us through a brief of the things that are supposed to happen in the final days and things which we are beginning to see right now. Okay, now the Bible says in Daniel chapter 8 and verse 23 that at the fullness of time, when transgressors have come to their fullness, a king of fierce countenance will arise, talking about the Antichrist. And it says a ground will be set in which wicked people have come to their fullness, or unrighteousness or sin or lawlessness has come to its fullness, to set a background for the rising of the Antichrist. Now, I believe there was a prophet called Bob Jones who died early, I think, this year. And he was a powerful man of God. And he said that in 2002, he said the Lord told him 2012, is the year when God will let the Antichrist start the process of setting up his kingdom. Because all these things have to happen. They have to, his earthly kingdom, that is. It has to happen in this way, so that people have a chance to view both the way of God and the way of the devil, and then to choose. That is the whole purpose of it. So the Lord will let the devil set up his kingdom, will let the devil go and deceive people and all that, but then also he will make sure that there are people who are speaking to the same people about the truth, so that they listen to the truth, then they listen to the lie. So if they choose to believe the lie, then they will have made a decision that will determine their eternity. If however they choose to believe the truth, then of course they similarly will have made a decision that determines their reality, their eternity, for the better. Now, what we've been talking about, Babylon, is the system of the setting up of the Antichrist and his kingdom. We spoke about it in the financially, economically, religiously, when we're talking about the false prophet who is going to work hand in hand with the Antichrist. Actually, the Antichrist will come riding off the back of the false prophet. So that's what we are talking about now. So we've seen all the Babylonian system that is led ultimately by the Antichrist. And it's not a position, it's not a place on earth, although in the Old Testament, like I told you, in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, who the Bible says ruled over the earth, all the world, really, all the known world at the time. Now there's going to be an empire that rules over all the world now, but it will not be the way the other one was, because there was a city called Babylon, which was the capital of the empire, and at which you know, the king sat in that city. Now, it's not going to be like that. Now, this is a system, and it's being set up. Now, I've taught you all of that. Now, you know what the Babylonian system is, what it entails, what the people at the helm of it are planning. I told you here before that, I told you last week, actually, that they are planning to release a number of sicknesses, really, to reduce the population of the world, which is what they have always been planning. I told you they want it to be 1 billion. I told you they will use biological means to ensure that. And they come in as doctors beyond boundaries. It's usually called by its French equivalent as Médis Sans Frontières, something like that. It's what it is in French. So I told you that all these systems is to make sure that there is one center of power across the world, one center of power across the world. Now that's what they are planning for it to be. Now, and to a certain extent, there is going to be God is going to allow for some of these things to happen. Okay, not his children dying, whatever. Of course, if you stand in faith, you don't have to fear any of the diseases that they will send to you, because you cannot die before God says you die. And people are so scared of death, and I don't really understand why people are scared of death. And I'm not scared of death, and not just because I know that if I die, when I will go to heaven, but I'm not scared of death because I know what Jesus said. Jesus said, not even a bird, which is in the, which those people kept for the turtle doves and what for eating, basically. Not even one of those can fall without the permission of my heavenly Father, Jesus said. So how much more are you? Because even the very hair on your head is numbered. Now, if a bird can't die without the permission of God, what makes you think you are going to die anyhow? I mean, of course, if you believe and get into certain doctrines and feed yourself with that, you will kill yourself through what you believe. But don't believe that. I mean, they can unleash all the Ebola in the world. I'm going to be safe. And you know that I will be safe. Why? Because they would have to ask permission from God whether he's through with me. Are you through with Joseph? If you are not, sorry. If he's not, I can't die. Not just like that. I mean, I'm a child of God, and he decides when I go and things like that. But anyhow, my point is, that's how the reactions to various systems and the way people think. And it's important for you to listen to me properly, because somebody sent me an email. I was giving an example of a friend of mine who works in a bank and isn't tithing and what, and I told him to get off the Babylonian system. Now, this person mistook me to have told him to quit his job at the bank. And that's not what I'm saying. There is nothing wrong with working there or anywhere. It's the system. It's a system where you do not trust in the worldly system set out there. You know, do this, do that, go and do what, you know. Trust in the godly system. The godly system of financial provision is not a respecter of any positions, of any education level. Of course, if you are educated, that's good for you, but it's not a respecter of any education levels or any background or any such thing. It is just there. If you follow the principles set out in the Word of God, you will prosper. I have seen people who had zero in the form of a raw material, but God does not need raw material to make anybody prosper. So that's not what I meant. Okay. So I advise that gentleman to go and listen to it again. And be more careful next time when you listen, because you can twist some of these words to your own detriment. So, when the system is set up, as the system has been set up already, of the worldly system, and already there is a choice. Now, the Bible talks about a time of separation. A time of separation of people who belong to God and those who have chosen to belong to the devil. Now, all these people will have chosen. It will not be a case of ignorance. They will have heard what the Bible has to say. They will have heard what the Word of God has to say, and they will have deliberately chosen to follow the way of the world. Now, those people, the Bible says, because they had the truth and they did not believe the truth, God will send them a strong delusion that they will believe a lie. Okay? So if they're exposed to the truth so many times and they still refuse to believe it, God will send. Why do they refuse to believe? Because they do not want. Because they are still in love with acts of unrighteousness. Now, if that happens, then the Bible says God will send them a delusion God will send it. God is the one who sends the delusion. And a delusion where you get confused and you actually believe a lie. Because you had a chance and a chance and a chance to believe the truth, and you refuse to. Because you love the acts of unrighteousness, Jesus said in John chapter 3. So, now there will be a separation. Now, and this is already happening. Now, the time, what's going to happen is those who have chosen to be on the other side will no longer be called agnostics, atheists, whatever, all those things they call people who have, you know, basically, you know, dismiss the knowledge of God. They will no longer be scientists. So what are all those things? They will simply be satanists. Because at some stage, like I told you, the other man said, all these things that they are creating, atheism and all the other things, are just really introducing people, as the man called Albert Pike said in that book, which was published in 1871, which told all the plans of the devil ahead. All those things of agnosticism, and agnostics are people who do not, who say it's impossible to prove the existence of God. But I don't know if they expect to prove him in a laboratory or in some kind of scientific experiment. But that's stupidity of the highest order. I mean, and because how can you prove the existence of God? The only thing you can, if you go out to prove the existence of God, you just prove he doesn't exist. Because God is not going to be subject to a laboratory. He's bigger than that. Okay? So, those agnostics, then of course atheists who have made up their mind that there's no God, and all such people, okay? And humanists, people who believe that it all starts and ends with human beings. There will be no such people, because as they are pushed into that direction, eventually, as Albert Pike said, they will be introduced to the true doctrine, in his words, they will be introduced to the true doctrine of Lucifer. That will mean they will be Satanists. Now, those who will have chosen the way of God, they will not be any lukewarm people who are half here, half there, who are trying to calculate how much they can do, how much worldliness they can entertain and still go to heaven. They are still trying to calculate, what can I get away with? Okay? They are trying to be on the boundary because they want to enjoy the best of both worlds. So they don't want to completely immerse themselves in the ways of God, and because they think that's, they still think that's boring. They want to enjoy the world, and their idea of enjoy is all kind of, you know, carnal, hedonistic indulgences is their idea of enjoying. So those will no longer be there. Those who have chosen God will be deep and deep in God. The Bible says in Zechariah 12, I think, and verse 10, it says that the weakest among them shall be like David, and the strongest shall be like God. Now think about that, the weakest among them, like David. So the weakest of, and it's all, you know, speaking prophetically, the weakest of them at the time will be able to conquer Goliath and do all the acts of bravery that King David did. That's the weakest. Now he says the strongest shall be like God. So that means that even those who have chosen the way of God will become strong, absolutely strong in the power of God and in the exploits of God. There will be no place for a dead orthodoxy, which people call Christianity, where people don't believe that God speaks, where people don't believe that they can speak in tongues, and all those other things, which basically there will be no place for religion. Those who are with God will be in a full and complete relationship with him. And those who are not, those who are sticking to their orthodoxy, which is dead, deprived of any form of spiritual power, will actually be drawn the other side. Okay, because they will find the ways of the world more appealing than the ways of God, because they have stuck to a certain doctrine. And now that's already happening, because when the Catholic Church, led by Pope Francis, is recruiting people who are joining the one world religion, I mean, so many people have joined Southern Baptists and what, have signed with them. There's no more protests. The protest ended in 1999 because the Lutherans agreed with the Catholics, so there's no more protest. So we are one universal church. So now so many of those, you know, people have joined in with them, and that's heading to a very dangerous place. So if you are more allied to your denomination than you are to the word of God, to the Bible, okay, if you are only going to believe the part of the Bible that aligns with your denomination, you are in serious trouble. If, however, you choose to believe the Bible, regardless of any denomination, then, and only then, will you establish the kind of relationship with Christ that is going to almost insulate you from the ways of the devil, from the lies that are going to come. And they are going to come at a high, high level. They already have. So many young people are being swayed, being told, you know, the science, you know, science has proved this, science has proved that, and all these other things. And they don't even get to the bottom of it. They don't try to understand how does it prove this. They don't even try to read the research from those supposed experiments and whatever. Or even the manuscripts from them, they just believe because they have been told it's science. And of course, they have been prepared for a long time, almost conditioned to believe everything that is alleged to come from science, because apparently science proves things before it publishes them. But that's not true. That is totally not true. I mean, I've told you that science has still not proved the Big Bang, that it can happen, that it actually happened. But it's all being taught in universities and schools as the origin of the earth, even if they are still haven't proved it. And they will prove it someday, but they will prove it in the way that, I mean, they put the theory out there, then they force somebody to prove it. So it's not that they start with nothing and then build to a conclusion. They start with a conclusion and build backwards. Because I've told you that they still haven't found how two small objects can get banged, okay? And produce a big object, as an object as big as the universe. They haven't found that, but trust me, they will, because they will find a way of confusing people. Even when they were preaching the origin of the Big Bang thing, they tried to bang instruments together to see if it will change the composition of any one of those two. So you get two metals, bang them so hard together, same composition, until apparently. Some years back, a few years back, probably even 1.5 years back, I was reading in the Economist magazine, and they are saying finally, there was a slight change in one of the instruments, in one of the objects that they banged together. Now, there was just a slight change, a realignment of the molecules. Now, that is enough proof, as far as science is concerned, that the earth came through a big bang. I mean, how stupid is that? That's why the Bible says that professing to be wise, they became fools. And that's precisely what they are, fools, absolute fools. Now, if you believe that because they are putting on, white jackets and what they know everything, you will follow them to hell. But if you believe the word of God, you don't have to go there, okay? Now, don't ever get yourself in a position where you feel the Bible has to be validated by any modern experiment. The Bible is beyond validation by any human being. Just to know that. So even when they told me that, you know, archaeologists have discovered, something like the Noah's Ark over at the bottom of where. Now that's supposed to be a big deal because suddenly now they can prove that there was actually a Noah's Ark. I am not interested in that. I don't need proof from science. If the Bible says it, that's enough proof. So if science discovers something in the Bible and finds it was right, that's none of my business. Because if I make it my business, then I will have to disbelieve what the Bible says if the next time they find that it is not there. And yet, my source of truth is not science. Science is an attempt by human beings to discover the way the world is done. The way the world operates. Okay? And they have made a lot of success in that area, and they have done so many things. And that way, I've told you this before, it's like a mechanic in Katwe. When he gets a car, let's say Toyota, he studies how it works, he studies how the pistons move and everything, he studies the cooling system, the heating system, and everything, and then, because he has studied it, then he can help you prolong the life of your Toyota, and he does a good job. But it is foolhardy when the mechanic in Katwe decides that he's the one who made the Toyota. He did not. Okay, he just studied it and can make it. That's what science does. Science is like the mechanic in Katwe. They study that there is gravity, there is this, and because there is that, then they can manipulate the laws of the earth and create things which are good for every one of us. Okay, they study the body and they study how it works. They study how it dysfunctions. Then they create doctors, and doctors can help us prolong the life of the body because they have studied how it works. Okay, but they can't make the body, and they never will. They just know that if it suffers from this, this is how you treat it. And they have known that through trial and error over a period of time. But and that's basically the gist of science. Now, if you think it is, you know, some kind of panacea which has answers for everything, then you're going to fall in serious trouble, and it's going to be one of the biggest sources of lies, that science thing. So if you're here and you're still obsessed with scientists, I've said scientists have what? You're in serious trouble. Change your mindset. The only thing that matters is what the Bible says, because the Bible is the word of the man who created the earth. Okay, the person who created the earth, because he's not a man, but the person who created, you know, the earth. And he's the one who is going to have the final say. But he will let the devil build his kingdom, now let me get back. And after that, what's going to happen is, at some stage of all of that, I've told you this before, there's going to be a 7-year agreement that will be signed between Israel and all their enemies in the Middle East. And it's going to come on the backdrop of a very big war, which will have destroyed quite a number of people. I believe that is the war that is spoken of in Revelation, which talked about the sixth seal, the sixth trumpet, when the Bible says the 1/3 of the people in the of the population of the world will die, and it says there's going to be a war that will start along the River Euphrates. I've told you the countries that are at the River Euphrates: Iraq, Iran, Syria, and Turkey. Three of them are already in some war of some kind. ISIS covering, you know, Iraq and Syria, Iran having its own issues. Turkey themselves have some issues. However, they are still political. They haven't escalated into war. But the Bible says the war will start around there. And 1/3 of the population of the world will die. That's, we're talking about 2.3 billion people. It's going to be that bad. But the Bible also describes that there's going to be nuclear weapons involved. That's why I told you that the building of nuclear weapons by Iran is very significant, because I believe they are the ones who are going to use them. And then it might be triggered by Israel, because what's going to happen, Israel, Netanyahu said, he is not going to let Iran build nuclear weapons. Now, because America is wary of war, after what happened with Iraq, they fear to go to war at any one time. There have been all these threats. Iran, first of all, used chemical weapons on the opponents of the Assad regime, or rather, we are talking Syria, of the opponents of the Assad regime. And Barack Obama, remember, said that they have crossed the red line. What did he do? Nothing. Why? Because nobody wants to send ground troops there now, and they don't trust either one of the factions in Syria anyway. So now what happened after that is they get into some kind of agreement with Iran, in which Iran apparently shows them that they are building nuclear facilities simply for creation of energy, electricity and energy to run their industries, which is not true. Israeli intelligence, and they have very good intelligence, says that they actually are building nuclear warheads, and the purpose is to send them to Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, basically to destroy Israel. So Netanyahu says we are not going to allow Iran to have nuclear weapons. So does that mean at some stage Israel might be tempted to preempt Iran by going and destroying those nuclear weapons before they are ready to be discharged? I believe that that is going to happen, from at least what is being said. Now, that may or may not be the trigger for this big war in the Middle East, but there is going to be a big war. And I believe, and it is already brewing as we speak. Now, on the backdrop of that war, almost coming out of it, there will be a clamor for world peace. How can this happen? How can all these people die and all these things? And so there will be a call for, I mean, a new system of governance, a new system on what now the Antichrist will come riding on the popular wave of this new world system. So what are the things that divide people? Economies, money, basically, religion, and nationalities. So how do you solve that? Have a one world government, so that national boundaries cease to be of any significance. Have a one world religion, so that people don't have to fight. Let them come up with some kind of faith system that everybody can agree to. The enemies of that faith system will be true Christian believers who believe in Christ and have a relationship with him. Not any religion. Christianity will be the real enemy of those people, and they will fight it. There will be a persecution. Then, of course, have one world economy run by select few people. We're actually almost heading there. Now, I was telling you, but I was reading the other day in some of the newspapers that, actually it was on television, I was watching the YouTube clip of when NBC television in America predicted that because the Obamacare what is called the Obamacare, the health care introduced by Obama, actually has in it a stipulation that everybody has to have their health details put on a microchip, a small microchip, the size of a grain of rice, one grain of rice, that small, okay, and to be implanted in their body, in some part of their body. They have suggested the right hand, but those who for some reason do not have a right hand, like people who have amputees or people like that, will have it on their forehead. Exactly the way the Bible says. It's right there in that Obamacare thing. It's right there. And it was passed. And now the other day the president was defending, President Obama was defending it, saying how it has created, success. People are getting, health care, and so many more people now have health care than they did before, and all that stuff. But then, that health chip that is put inside them will be tied to health. So that, why are they saying that? Of course, the reasons are already being fronted all over in the media as it is. They are saying because somebody can have an accident, he doesn't have his identification on him, you don't know anything about the person. So how do they know how to treat this person? How do they know their medical history or things like that? Because, of course, the medical history is important for you to treat somebody. For instance, if you knew he was a diabetic, there are things you wouldn't do that you would do ordinarily to somebody who isn't. So, would you have to carry your identification everywhere? That's unrealistic. Some places you don't carry it. So what if something happened to you? That's why we want it in the hand or in the forehead. Why in the hand, in the forehead? If the hand gets hurt in the accident, for instance, or let's say even gets chopped off in the accident, then the forehead is good. If the head is cut off, then they don't need to treat you. You'll be dead anyway. So, but that's this, all this, and of course it's being reasoned out, and people have been lulled to sleep. They don't see that this is actually a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Now, when did they say this is going to happen? According to that report in NBC, they said by 2017, by the end, and now that's the target of Obama, because his office, his term on office ends in January 20th, 2017. And they are saying that by 2017, that thing will have been implemented and everybody in America will have that microchip inside them. Now that is the mark of the beast. Okay? That is the mark of the beast. Why? It does not just have medical information. It has all information about somebody. And it is compressed on more than 1,000 pages of information concerning a person are compressed in that microchip. So, and without it, so everything, now what you would have, because there are things without which you can, all your bank information will be there. For those people, but eventually, of course, it will come here as well. All their bank information, social security number, and all those things that identify them will be inside that chip, so they won't have to carry everything. Now, of course, it will be fronted as a big advantage. Why? Because there is no theft. Right now, somebody can steal your ATM card, can steal your credit card, and go and wreak havoc, okay, one way or the other. But when it's inside your forehead or inside your right arm, stuck in there, it's not quite easy. It's not easy for anybody to steal it out anyway. Besides, it would not work if it got out in there. So now, of course, everybody will see it has an advantage. This is good stuff. This is technology. Science is introducing things, scientific, and it's all scientific. And then stupid people who are studied believe it because it comes as scientific. But they don't know they are taking the mark of the beast. And they don't know once that thing enters your body, you are definitely going to hell, because definitely there is no place for repentance after that. That's it. You're sealed. Your place in hell is booked. And now people have to be informed of all these things. Now they are targeting 2017. They may or may not hit their target, but that's what they are planning. Okay. Now that thing gets inside you, so it has all your information. Now the Bible says people will not be able to buy or sell unless they take the mark of the beast. Now, of course, we are getting there already here, even here as well, where almost all transactions are going to be done using debit and credit cards. So, if you don't have that information in you, sorry, it's not going to happen. Remember, the banks that we use here are the same international banks, most of them. Only very few, actually, indigenous banks. So, they are the same international banks, Barclays, Stanbic, and all those. They are all over the world, okay? So, when they introduce it there, it's just a matter of time before they introduce it to all their branches. Then it works. Then you just get into a supermarket and there's a scanner that reads that thing out of your body. and you go and shop and walk out without need for the teal and, you know, putting your blue band here, bread here and all that. No, the items that you buy are all marked, okay? And when you're driving them out of the trolley, now it's already happening in some places, actually many places in the Western world, when you're driving out of your trolley, that scanner scans the marks on all those and the price of everything that you've bought, and then scans your microchip and takes that. Right now it's not a microchip yet, but your card, your credit card in your pocket, you don't have to take it out. Once it is inside there, the scanner will pick it up with your name, with your bank details, and even the things you're riding on that trolley out of the supermarket will immediately be scanned and summed up as costing 300,000. Then that money will be taken off your credit card from your pocket. So you just ride out as if you own the supermarket, and yet actually that money has been deducted off your account. Now that's what it is. Now, how does somebody shop without any of that? He can't. Okay? So it is impossible for anybody to shop without that, because nobody's going to be taking your cash. Thank you very much. Now, even the items can be traced down to where they are used. So if you're somebody who has maybe a friend or let's say a relative who has taken the mark of the beast and you have not taken it, that's if you're surviving at the time, you cannot tell him, go and buy for me these groceries, for two reasons. Number one, how are you going to repay him? Because if you give him cash, it's going to be useless, more or less. Because everything down to the cafes and everything will be transacted like that. So if you are going to take it off his bank card and give him cash, where is he going to use the cash? But secondly, those items can be traced down to people who are rebellious. And then the whole world will be against those people, because you're seen as a criminal. Why don't you want to take this? Because if everybody has it, then they are no thieves. Because what are you going to steal? But that thing does not just contain that. It is created in a way that it is centralized. And now, all the movements of a person who has that chip inside them can be picked up by one central computer. So basically, the whole population of the world is mapped out. And everything is mapped out. They have already tried it. 10 years ago, they were doing this with dogs and putting those chips inside them so that the dogs cannot get lost. And now, almost everywhere, almost every state in America, people do it. So you go and put this chip in your dog or in your pet, and if it gets lost, they will just tell you it's down there, because they can see it in the computer. They can actually look in the computer and see that this is where it is, just like we are doing here now for car trackers and things like that. So now it will be used for people trackers. Then it will not just be that, there will be a lot of sicknesses at the time that are already being introduced, but the major one is going to be cancer. Now that chip will come with a huge advantage. Number one, it will be able, through scientific endeavor and research, what they have been calling stem cell research, if you've heard about that. They are trying to mix the DNA of human beings with the DNAs of animals. Why is that important? Because so many sicknesses can be avoided when they mix these DNAs. Already, there is suspicion that some athletes, there was a Chinese athlete who went and ran a distance. They tested her for all doping, and she turned out negative. But still, what she had done defied the normal limits of a natural human endeavor, because she had run at a speed that was a bit unnatural. So most of the scientists said that no, what they should do is they should test her for genes of other things. And actually one person suggested that they had injected genes of a horse inside her. Now what does that mean? Imagine a human being with your brain thinking like you, but with some genes of a horse. You can basically run 10,000 meters, well, in world record times, if you know what I mean. Because you're basically a horse. I mean, the genes affect some parts of you and mean that you are not subject to the same tiredness and, slow pace and everything, fatigue, that normal people have. And people are already suspecting that those things are being used. Now, through that research called stem cell research, which George Bush had banned, or at least had refused the government to fund until Obama came and funded it, they are looking at how to mix the DNA of human beings with DNAs of animals. Now, some of those will create longevity to the point that people will be living for so many years. And it will be possible for people to live for 300 years and things like that, and basically have no sicknesses. If you've been watching Hollywood, you must have seen things like this. If you watch the movie Elysium, Elysium has a bit of that, where these privileged people go someplace where you just get into a scanner and it scans you for any sicknesses and removes them from your body. And you're living in some kind of paradise up there, where people fly through with jets and what, only privileged people. The rest of the unprivileged people are left on earth. Now, they have been trying to do, all those are things which they are planning to do. Now, the thing is, they send them out to you, messages, through, but you think it's just a movie, science fiction, but it isn't. It isn't science fiction. It is something that is in the plan, anyhow. So, now when they inject the mark of the beast, they'll tell you, you are going to be free from so many sicknesses, you'll be able to stay healthy, you'll be able to live for 300 years, and they'll present so many advantages. That's why I'm telling you, so many people will willingly, they will not force anybody to take the mark of the beast. Nobody is going to be held down and your hands tied and you're stampeded on the foot and they implant it in you by force. It will not happen. But they will apply some external pressure to make you make the decision. But you will have to decide on your own. But most of the pressure will be the advantages that are presented if you take the mark of the beast. Imagine, no chance of cancer or even these sicknesses you people get. Flu, malaria and all that, even, you know, HIV. And all. Just take the mark of the beast and you're going to be okay. And you'll be able to live for 300 years. Tell me how many people would take that. Even so-called Christians and even so-called church leaders would settle for that. I mean, they have settled for very petty things. If you hear some of the things that church leaders take, I mean, I told you the other day, there was a man, a church leader, on a debate on a radio station. They asked him if they were to give him $1 million and somebody, has homosex with him, would he take it? He said, yeah, I would let the man have sex with me for $1 million. And he said that because the world has been reduced to everything is money. That's why Paul says, if you have something to eat and drink, and a place, somewhere to stay, be content with that. Does that mean God wants you to stay there? No. That means if you have that, first of all, be content with that. God will give you much more. He just doesn't want you to stop at eating and sleeping. But don't get into, he's talking about the love of money. When you get into the area where you love money so much that every consideration is money, you are going to be duped and you are going to end up in a very dangerous place which might affect your eternity. So you have to learn how to put money in its place. That's going to be a big temptation for so many people. Can you put money in its place? Can you know that I'm serving God? I know he's going to prosper me. But even if he did not prosper me, I would still serve him because I love him. That's the decision that's going to take you to eternity, to eternity with Christ. When you say, no matter what, even if I was to die a pauper, I would still serve God. And yet, actually, the irony is, if you made your mind up that you are going to serve God no matter what, even if there was no benefit, even if he did nothing more for you, you would still serve him. Trust me, he would do so much for you in such a short time after you've made that decision. Because that means that you've chosen God, you've not chosen wealth. You've chosen God, you've not chosen healing or anything. You've chosen God as a decision. You've made up your mind, I'm going to serve God. Even if I die a pauper, so be it, but I will serve him and I will be true to him. Now, when you make that choice, suddenly you find that God doesn't want you to be a pope after all. Now, you can prosper, and what? Because you made the decision to serve God. Now, that when you get to that level, even the wealth will not be able to take you off God. That's why he wants to first strengthen you in your resolve to be on his side. Because he doesn't want to give you money which is going to take you to hell. Okay, it's more important that you end up in heaven than that you be rich on earth. Because you have very few years left on earth anyway. But eternity is eternity. You're going to be there forever and ever and ever. So it's more important what happens there than here. But if you can prove your maturity and show that what happens here, if you are rich, if you are poor, you will still serve God. You know, like Paul says, I've learned how to abound and I've learned how to be deprived. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Whether it's abounding, I have so much, I am okay with that. I have nothing, I will be okay with that. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, you have to make up that choice. Anyhow, so they will present that thing as a huge health benefit. So they will tell you, no, you don't have to get worried of sickness and what. So even your parents, your relatives and what who have taken the mark will say, what's wrong with you? Are you stupid? Can't you see that you need this? Why are you what? Then they will say, if you get sick, we are not even going to help you. We are not going to treat you because you refuse to take the mark of the beast. And they will not call it the mark of the beast. It will be presented as something so good. Now, you who know, you know that don't anything that enters your body. Somebody told me, national ID, you know, sent me a message saying, I registered for national ID. Am I okay? Of course, that is just an ID. I mean, people don't get into fear. It's just a document which shows who you are and what you are. It's like your passport. If it's like your ATM card, all that, there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. But once it gets into your body, then now you're entering into serious trouble. And you have to be on the lookout. That's why Jesus said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Pray, you know what praying does. Watching means look out for what's outside of you. Don't just sit there and follow everything that you hear. Now there is this, now there is that, now there is this. Understand where is this coming, what's the origin of it, which is why I'm here, to help you understand some of these things. So, now their target is 2017, I told you. In a short time, some people are going to start taking it already, but it will not become compulsory immediately. It will become optional. Then those the optionality will turn into great convenience. Then great, like the whole thing, you know, people tell you that now it's convenient to shop this way. It's convenient to shop this way. It's convenient to shop using your credit card or your debit card. But you can use cash. Nobody's going to turn it away. But after some time, they say, no, now you actually have to use a debit card or a credit card. Then after some time, they say, okay, there's going to be this mark which can be put in your body. And then, of course, some important people take it first. And then you see them as prestigious. Somebody comes and just rides out of the supermarket. And for you, you have to go to the till and present your debit card or credit card. And they take off the money. And you say, wow, that guy is cool. Eventually, it becomes something that, well, it's good. But after some time, it is totally enforced. And you have to do it. If you don't do it, you can't work. You can't buy. You can't sell. Okay? You can't travel. You're basically handicapped. You can't live a normal life on earth until you have that mark. So if people will be forced to take it, not knowing that now, why does the mark of the beast come into your body and mean that you're definitely going to hell? It means that you become like the aliens, like the men who are a result of the sons of God, meaning demons, having sexual relations with women before the days of Noah. Now, don't get me wrong here. When the Bible says the sons of God, it meant spirits, okay? Because Hebrews calls God the father of spirits. So all spirits were fathered by God, even the bad ones. God did not make any bad spirits. They just rebelled. Lucifer and all the rest. Lucifer led the rebellion. So, but when God made them, they were all perfect. But they chose to rebel against the kingdom of God. So, when it says the sons of God, it means spirits. And in this case, it means evil spirit. Okay? Went and had sexual relations with women and then produced a species of people that were not exactly human. I told you they were giants. They were big. Some of them as much as tall as, and I've been seeing the skeletons of some as tall as 15 feet. 15 feet. Now, I think the tallest man in the world should be like 7'7". That means that twice the tallest person in the earth right now. 15 feet. So, those giants were unusual. They had all those things. Eh? That's why God destroyed the earth. And when the Bible says only Noah was perfect in the time, it meant was of perfect human DNA. Now, this mark of the beast changes the DNA of a person and turns them into something human, between human and between, you know, animal. Basically, you become, and Christ became man to save men. You understand? Now, when you cease to be a man, then you're out of the realm of salvation by Christ. Because you've ceased to be a man, you're a mixture of all sorts of DNAs, which is what happened, and that's why God destroyed the world with the flood. We've spoken about that before. So when all of this happens, it's presented so well, people take it and they don't know, they are booking their places in hell. Maybe some of them know, but maybe they don't even care, because they are going to live 300 years on earth anyway. Now, after the peace deal is signed, it starts the final 7 years of human government, not of the world, but of human government. Okay. Now, I told you the first 3.5 years, I believe the Christians will still be here, the church will still be here, and there will be a period. That's when people start taking start taking the mark of the beast, using it to shop and to do all those things, and there's privilege associated with it in the first 3.5 years, but it is not enforced. You can deal without it, you can do without it, you can still use your cash, you can still use your ordinary credit or debit card, but a few people have chosen that direction anyway. Then if the Bible says that's the period Jesus says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of men will grow cold. Now the whole social structure will have been turned around with all this homosexuality. Now I told you the next thing is going to be incest. And now we told you what was happening in Germany when they recommended that they remove the law of incest, so that a man can marry his sister, his blood sister. Okay. Now of course that turns around cultures, all cultures, and they will enforce it. Now they enforce it in the way that they have enforced homosexuality. And now here, I mean, in some tribes in Uganda, especially Baganda, even clans cannot marry. Even somebody of the same clan with whom you have no birth relation, you cannot marry the person, according to the traditions of Buganda. But now they will change it, where even your own sister with whom you share parents, it's okay, you can marry her. Now, the idea is to turn everything godly upside down, okay? And turn human beings into some kind of, you know, devilish creatures. And the social structure which God created through the Leviticus and Deuteronomy and all those laws, is turned upside down, if you know what I mean. So then after that, then there will be bestiality, where people are generally having sex with animals, and it's okay, and you cannot dispute them. They have a right. It's a human right. You know, and then human rights activists are chasing that as well. And everything's in the first 3.5 years. So that's why Jesus says that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. When what? Many people have taken on DNAs that are not entirely human. That's what happened in the days of Noah. Then it says, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. All that is in Luke 17. In the days of Lot, the Bible says, because of the sodomy and all of that. Actually, if you read in Peter, he says the Lot, his righteous soul, speaking about Lot, his righteous soul was continually vexed by the evil that surrounded him. Now, that's how we shall be. When you're looking here and there's all these homosexuals, there's all these people who are messed up around you, and you're a Christian following the way of God, and you have to be strong. And that's when Jesus says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of God will grow cold. Now, he's not talking about sin. He's talking about lawlessness. That's different. Sin is a much lower level. Because, as I've told you here before, when somebody sins, he does something which is illegal. Now, if you're driving and speaking on your mobile phone, when you see a traffic officer ahead of you, you'll put the phone down, or you'll switch it off, or at least you'll hide it for the moment you're driving past him. Why? Because you're sinning, but then you acknowledge that there is an authority. So you have not yet lost it entirely, because you still acknowledge that there is an authority. When a child steals sugar and hides, it acknowledges the authority of the parent and knows that it is doing wrong. But lawlessness is when you drive straight past the traffic officer with your phone, and you basically tell him, there is nothing you can do to me. Now that's lawlessness. That means you're passed to the law. Now that's what's going to happen. That's with all this, a lot of lawlessness, and the love of many will grow cold. Then there will be a lot of vexation of the souls of Christians watching all these stupid things happening around you, and you have to stick to that. Now, at the end of the 3.5 years, I believe, is when the rapture occurs. When the rapture occurs, the Antichrist does what? Comes and takes over officially. Now his kingdom starts. That's when they enforce the mark of the beast. Those who don't take it are killed, are martyred, okay? And those who take it are definitely going to hell. Now, after the 3.5 years, you know, there's a battle for Jerusalem called the Battle of Armageddon. Jesus Christ comes, sets up the millennium and his final kingdom. Now, in the millennium, the world will continue as it is. Understand that. It will continue as it is. Even those people who have decided to live 300 years will be there. But the world will be ruled by Christ. Okay? So, everything will go back to order. It will be ruled by Christ, and the believers who will have been raptured and those who will have been saved when he comes back the third time to rule on earth. Those who will have resisted the mark of the beast and survived somehow will join him and will rule with him. Like how? Like angels. They will have bodies like the one which Jesus had when he rose from the dead, where you could walk through walls, do what. But you're basically in heaven, but you keep on coming to earth because you have a principality that you control. You understand? So some people, depending on your rank in heaven, which of course depends on what you did for God on earth, will be in charge of cities. Some people will be in charge of nations. Some people will be in charge of villages. You understand? Principalities and what. But all of them will be ruling with Christ. So there will be peace on earth. And that's when the Bible says that the lamb will lie down with the lion, because God never intended for lions to eat fellow animals. Actually, even human beings initially are not supposed to eat animals, but that is not doctrine. Please understand that. Eh? But God never intended for lions to eat lambs. Actually, the Bible says lions will eat grass, as it was intended. If you read the story of creation, God said that all the animals are supposed to eat grass, all of them, including lions. But of course, everything changed when the DNA was corrupted. So then throughout their 1,000 years, people will live for very long. Even those who did not take the mark of the beast will live for very long. Even those who are born in the millennium will live long periods. The Bible says somebody will die at 100 years and they will say, oh, he was only a child. 100 years old will be only a child. So people will be living 600, 700 years, some of them throughout the millennium. Why? Because Christ will be reigning and will go back to what it was in the early days of Enoch and all those people, Noah and the people before him. But at the end of the millennium, what does Christ do? Christ comes, of course, in the millennium, the devil is tied, put in a bottomless pit. Now, at the end of the millennium, the devil is loosed from the bottomless pit and unleashed on the earth again to come and tempt people again. Why does God do that? Because the people who will have been born during the millennium must be given a chance to be tempted and to choose God, because they will not have had a chance to be tempted, because they will have been survived all their lives in the reign of Christ. So Christ releases the devil and says, go and tempt them, and they make their own decision. Because everybody has to make a decision to choose between God and the devil. Everybody. The reason you're listening to this is probably because you made the decision to listen to, to believe God. So many people have made the decision to believe the devil. Okay, and to fight, to trust him and to serve him. Now, even those people who are born in the millennium, when the devil is bound in the bottomless pit, will be given a chance to be tempted, and some of them will choose Christ and will be in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and some of them will choose the devil. And actually, the Bible says the devil will gather up an army to go and fight Christ, to put up his final assault on Christ, and he'll be defeated and he'll be cast into the lake of fire. And the saints of God, the new Jerusalem comes, and the saints of God dwell therein, and basically are lit up by the light of God and stay with God. And then the earth as we knew it will be destroyed, and then the new earth will be created for people who are redeemed. Those who are not redeemed will be in hell. Now those who died who are not in Christ, those who died in Christ before the rapture will have resurrected at the time of the rapture, and will be in heaven. Would have been reconnected basically with their bodies. Now those who died in sin will be resurrected at the end of the millennium, and then the great white throne judgment, where they will be judged and sent to hell. Why are they judged when they are definitely going to hell? Because even hell has its degrees. Some people don't get as much punishment as others. Don't think hell is the same. It is not. Because there's bigger punishment even in hell for people, depending on their level of wickedness. Anyway, I have to end here right now. But I do hope that you make the decision that is going to make sure that you spend eternity with Christ rather than eternity with the devil.
That was The Watchman, with fascinating insight into the end times. Join us again next week for another update on Bible prophecy.